Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Hello, Kevin Herr, filling in for Steve Jones again today as The Steve Jones Show continues. And Steve, on vacation, will be back with us on Monday when high school football gets cranked up. At least the full-fledged practices get cranked up anyway. Just a little over 3 weeks from the start of high school football and college football season as well. Talked a little high school football on Monday and talked a little college football with Doug Birdsong on Tuesday. Well, today is Wednesday, and we have some of the best interviews that Steve Jones has put up over the last couple of weeks and the last couple of months, including Tim Doyle, the Big Ten Network. We'll have Dan Baker in a conversation Steve had with the PA announcer, not the play-by-play voice, although he's done some play-by-play. He was the PA announcer for the Philadelphia Eagles and, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll have Kevin Kugler coming up as well, and we'll talk a little bit about the Phillies and about Penn State and Nittany Lions, too, with Rich Scarsella on this Best of Steve Jones show throughout the day today. We'll have a Best of Steve Jones Penn State interviews coming up as well. And even though Mike Muscala may not be an Atlanta Hawk yet, we will play back some of the interviews Steve had with Mike and with Coach Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison later on this week, too. Again, Mike, in case you didn't hear, signed to play in Spain for a year. And as a second-round pick, many NBA players do that. The Hawks still own the rights to him, and that does not mean that he will not be an Atlanta Hawk. It just means that he'll play in Spain for the next year anyway and try and hone his game just a little bit more for the NBA. And with the Hawks' moves recently, they really didn't have a whole lot of room for Mike, so this is probably a really good opportunity for him to get some playing time and, again, hone his skills for the NBA and the Hawks at a later date. Coming up in just a few, Tim Doyle, the Big Ten Network. But first, Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Bring in from Big Ten Network, Timmy D, Tim Doyle. Timmy D, how are you, brother?
Steve, what's up, my man? The station calls me. It did not ring. These phones these days, you know, they're unreliable.
Just do what we do. Hit them on the side.
What's going on?
First of all, I didn't know whether to have you or your new wife on the show.
And
the reason is I only have one question for her. What were you thinking?
You know, my girl's a cancer nurse. She's a saint on earth, but you know there's got to be something wrong with her. She married me. You know what I mean?
One thing, and I've told you this and you know this, so I'm not telling you anything I haven't said right to your face. One thing I always like about you, you are the same off as you are on.
And and that's what the priest said that day. She goes, you know who you're marrying. You're not going to change them. And I was like, thank you. See, thank you. There's witnesses here for all of this.
Girardi and I want pictures. All right, we just want to get confirmation. That's all.
Definitely, Steve.
For you, let's get into a couple things. Getting into the sports part of it. And you know, you played hoop. You're at St. John's, Northwestern, whatever. But you do other shows for BTM where it delves into much more than just basketball. Where did the love of sports and all sports come into play growing up?
You know, that's a great question. And growing up in New York, there was a lot of street games, a lot of stickball, a lot of football. So you just played every sport. And I think East Coast people, and that definitely leaks into Pennsylvania, the Philly area, New Jersey. We all have very strong feelings towards our sports teams, you know what I mean? Especially where you are in Happy Valley. And it was really special to go out there for the charity golf event this year, the Coaches versus Cancer, and to just see the passion and the community and how they rally around Penn State. You know, when you're from that area, you just rally around your sports teams. I mean, so, you know, the Mets were really good when I grew up. Then it was the Yankees through junior high and high school. So you had an opinion about sports. And even if you didn't know that much, you still have an opinion. That's what I think makes it so great. So, you know, football, I can't break down a nickel defense or if they should have been in a 3-4 instead of a 4-3. But I can tell you if they should have went for it on fourth down or why are they running the ball on third down. You know, you can have an opinion about the game. So, you know, that's what I think I've been able to kind of make this job work is, like me or dislike me, I have an opinion, and I do have some facts to back it up. So that's why I've been able to make it in a business that, you know, Steve, is really, really tough.
Well, you've been tremendous. And you talk about doing the research. How much time do you put into that? And what are some things you actually look for? Because one thing I've noticed about you, you're keen. You seem to find a couple things that other people don't see.
I'll tell you, basketball, offensively, I have a pretty good mind. I wasn't a great athlete, but I could always read passing lanes. So offensively, I can see stuff developing 2-3 passes away.
Yeah.
Defensively, I can't see it like a Bob Knight or a Gene Katie. I'm being honest. I could see offensively what's going to happen in a particular set. Defensively, I know all the principles. I have a tougher time figuring out, if they need to force the guy to his offhand. That's all scouting report stuff that I try to read up on. I think offensively I can really see things develop. And let's be honest, when you watch a game, you watch the offensive side of the ball. I mean, that's just what the common fan does. They're not watching the defensive side of the ball. And then as far as research, this is the best stuff, Steve. I watch games all the time, and my wife, formerly my girlfriend, she used to be so angry. She goes, all you do is watch sports. Now that there's no sports, I got to sell her on the Cubs or the White Sox. I'm like, babe, I got to watch this. It's for my job. You know what I mean? So I end up watching a lot of sports, and when you watch a lot of sports, you know, you start figuring out trends and players' capabilities. But to really know a sport and know a team, you just got to watch a lot of it.
Well, this is where I'll give everybody a little insight into Tim. I know how he solved part of the problem. They're called red-soled shoes. Am I correct?
that's another day, another story. But yes, Steve, you're right. Red-soled shoes, yeah.
No,
he's in the pockets for that one.
No, we're not going to tell the story. I'm just going to say it's part of the solution. At least appeases. There's some appeasement in there. All right, here I gotta watch some games here. And that's the thing. You watch them over and over again. Where did the love of the track come from?
You know, my dad bartended at night, and that was a common theme. My mother was, a stay-at-home mom, but my dad was always home during the day. He'd go to work 5 or 6 o'clock at night, so. You know, on a Wednesday when it's nice out, there isn't a lot to do, you know. So we always used to wander out to Belmont or Aqueduct, and that was just something. I love the ponies. It's a very hard sport to win at consistently, but I've been able to have a few good days, and it's more of getting a chance to go out to the track, whether it be Penn National or Saratoga or Del Mar. It's actually a really fun day, and, you know, it's just something that I love the strategy of it all and figuring out, you know, who's going to be in front, who's closing, is this jockey hot? I think the jockey put on weight. I love all the kind of the side stories going into each race, and that's why I kind of fell in love with the sport.
To get back to the Big Ten for a moment, a year from now we will be talking about Maryland and Rutgers entering into this thing. What do you think it will do for the Big Ten Basketball Conference?
Well, obviously Rutgers is, you know, what's going on there. It's been, you know, they have just been just disarray, right? I mean, I don't really know the word. From Rice to Jordan to their athletic director, it just seems like one after the other. But now, you know, they've kind of they're not been in the headlines of the news lately. That's interesting. They're able, the Big Ten, to get into that market. And, you know, Rutgers is a great state university in New Jersey, but they're still a work in progress. I think football, they've had a spike with Schiano before he went to the pros. I think football is going to be a little more consistent than basketball. And as far as Maryland, you know, they won a national championship only about 11 years ago in basketball. And in football, they've had their spike moments too. Obviously, they've worn some awful-looking jerseys at times. I mean, they can be sore on the eyes. But I think it's going to be great for Penn State because now it gives you a little bit more of East Coast presence versus, even though a team like Iowa has great tradition, you know, I don't know how well, you know, back and forth they travel to each individual school. So I think it's going to be great for Penn State as far as renewing or starting some new rivalries.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. That's one of the things the fans around here, it used to be that you could select a couple games you wanted to go to because you could drive to Pitt, drive to West Virginia, drive to Temple, drive to Rutgers, right, drive to Maryland, drive to Syracuse. You know, they haven't had that in the Big Ten. You can drive to Ohio State, or you can go on an excursion any place else in the conference.
And nothing's better than going to Nebraska in November. I mean, like you're going to South Florida. You know?
Absolutely. So where are you going to give the Big East credit? The Big East, Miami leaves for the ACC. Why don't we get South Florida? We can still go down there in November. It's a great idea.
No, absolutely. And trust me, when I was at St. John's, I circled that Miami game very early in the calendar. I said, well, here's a few days I can catch some rays.
What got you to say, you know what, let's go to Northwestern instead?
Well, when I left St. John's, and when you're a New York kid, it's kind of like being a Philly kid and going to Temple, or if you're a Chicago kid going to DePaul. If you're a New Yorker, to go to St. John's, I mean, that's the Mecca, to play in Madison Square Garden. And, you know, when they came calling, it was just something I couldn't turn down. And, you know, people ask me what my stats were there at St. John's, and I'm kind of embarrassed because I always told them I was a 30-30 guy, which means if we were up 30 or down 30, I got in for like 30 seconds. I mean, that was basically my career at St. John's. So when I left there, Steve, I needed to go somewhere that fit my style of play.
Right.
Even though Northwestern, you know, holds the ball or they're slow or they're half-court offense, it kind of fit what I did well. And now that I'm out of school and I watch sports, all different sports, the word fit is everything. Just look at Wes Welker in football. Here's a guy that couldn't play it down for the Dolphins. Now he's the best receiver in football. Look at Jeremy Lin. The opportunity he got with the Knicks has really propelled himself to being a millionaire. It's all about fit. And when you're choosing a school as a 17 or 18-year-old, you're not thinking about fit. And when I left St. John, I was like, what fits my skill set? Northwestern was the greatest decision I'll ever make. Maybe even better decision than marrying my wife because of the career I've had. But it has really propelled me to do everything I wanted to do. And hopefully with the new coach there, this is going to be something that, you know, they're able to get over that hump and finally get into the dance.
Yeah, Chris Collins coming in from Duke. Doug Collins' son, now the head coach at Northwestern. What propelled you into the media side of it, the TV side of it? What opened that door?
Yeah, well, I was always a little goofy, you know what I mean? I never noticed. So the one thing I knew was, you know, the power of the pen. And writers are interesting. They can make you seem like Superman or they can make you, you know, out in the doghouse. So I was always very friendly to the writers and, you know, just like I was to the referees. It never hurt to be friends with those guys. So, you know, you see a writer out at a college bar, you buy him a beer, always tell a joke to a referee. Why not? You know what I mean? Because most guys are so, like, you know, focused or locked in, and they give you kind of the politically correct answers. I had a lot of fun with it. I knew how fortunate I was to play in such a great conference. I knew I was lucky, so I really enjoyed every moment of it.
Has anybody tried to change you on the air, pulled you aside and said, hey, Tim, tone it here or try that, or have you just been allowed to be you?
Steve, you know, in this industry, some people are not going to like your style, no matter if you're Marv Albert or Bob Costas. You know, some people along the line are be like, yeah, I really don't like him. You know, Joe Buck, people don't like Joe Buck, and I think Joe Buck's great. You know, they don't like him on baseball. So, you know, with my style, I use my hands too much. My New York accent at times when I say water or Fosta, you know, it's pretty bad. But, that's me. And I think some people enjoy that because that's the authentic me. But as far as changing my style, I really haven't had too much pushback.
That's good. I mean, that's good because I think, you know, I think it's important that everybody that does this is themselves on the air, no matter what.
And it's hard. Yeah, absolutely. It's hard because you're right. Some people, you know, executives, I'm sure, for anybody who's on air, you know, they could say, we want you to do it this way. But, you know, you got to kind of stay true to what got you there.
you enjoy the studio, or do you enjoy being on location doing a game?
The games are more energy. I mean, I did the Penn State game last year where they knocked off Michigan. I mean, going into that game, who would have thought Penn State, 0-14, ends up knocking off the national runner-up in Michigan? And to be at that game was absolutely electric. Now, the flight there, the hotel, the shooter, it's a very long day to prepare for a game. You know, you start preparing 3 days before and then the game. I mean, it's like it's basically like a four-day process. So right. Versus the studio, I live in Chicago. The studio's in Chicago. It's like a nine-minute ride. I sit in the green room. I eat like three bologna sandwiches. I watch all the games. It's a little bit easier, but the games itself are just so much energy, and it's great to be there live. You learn a lot more about a team live when you're watching it. You watch their shoot around. You watch the practice before. You learn 50-fold than what you can learn watching a two-hour game on television.
I'll ask you one more, and then I'll let you go because I know you're pressed for time. What can the return of Tim Frazier mean to Penn State basketball in the big picture?
I think Penn State can go to the tournament. I really believe that. But, you know, the conference is going to be really tough next year at Michigan and Michigan State, and Achilles injuries are not like ACL injuries. They're very tricky to bounce back from. He's a great kid. Obviously, he was first-team All-Big Ten over Trey Burke, who was just drafted in the lottery of the NBA draft. I only wish good things for Penn State. Pat Chambers is a great guy, and he's got great energy. But, you know, it's a tricky job there at Penn State because it's a football-first school. I only wish good things. I only hope Tim Frazier bounces back 100%.
You know, it's always fun talking with you, bud. Appreciate
Steve,
it.
You're the man. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
See ya. Timmy D. Timmy Doyle from Big Ten Network. And we appreciate him coming on. We'll come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Hur.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Second half hour here on this Wednesday. Today is the best of Steve Jones interviews. Heard from Tim Doyle, the Big Ten Network, Kevin Kugler on the way, and Rich Scarsella talking a little Penn State football and sports in general. But right now, it's the Philadelphia Phillies and Philadelphia Eagles PA announcer, Dan Baker joining Steve.
It's always our pleasure to bring on what we consider to be great professionals and outstanding at their particular craft, and one of them is Dan Baker. Dan, welcome. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Steve. I always know it's football season when I hear your great voice.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. I was out at the Phillies-White Sox game last Sunday, and there you were in the pregame, jacket and tie, on the field. And I commented to my friends, I said, now there's a pro out there. I said, the heat beating down on him. The experience of being down there pregame, you know, tell us what goes into coordinating that.
Well, all I'm doing is reading a script. The hardest work comes from our director of entertainment, Chris Long, who lines up all of the first balls and the sponsor presentations and player presentations. I just get that script in advance, Steve. And you being a terrific on-air person yourself knows that the value of preparation. I try to read through all the scripts in advance, knowing where I want to place emphasis, where I want to pause for effect. Making sure that I can pronounce everybody's name, and not just the players, but even those who are being presented on the field, you have an obligation to them as well. And sometimes some of the names that we are called upon to introduce are challenging.
Yes.
But I just ask people in advance, either ask PR people, and in the case of the players, I'll ask, you know, visiting broadcasters, sometimes the manager or coaches or players themselves, just to make sure I'm getting it right. But I try to leave the guesswork out of it and find out directly from the source.
And that's an important part of this. And you talk about making sure the players are pronounced right. But for the individuals that go out there, and some have tricky names, this is their moment in the sun that you're presenting, and to take it to heart and that seriously is important because you know it's important to them.
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. And I know that Penn State treats all of your dignitaries with a great deal of respect. And the Phillies and the Eagles, for whom I've had the privilege of providing public address for all of these years, feel very importantly about those components as well. And we do try to make it a special experience for them on the field before the game or if they're announced during the game. And it's just the way you do your job. And and in the goodwill, Steve, that we create, you know, there's a good chance that these people are going to return, either as sponsors or fans. And, you know, what is it they say in show business? You know, always leave them laughing. You know, you want to make them happy, and you want to make them feel important, too. And we try to do that.
And you absolutely do that. Who came up with the idea that you would do presentation on the field before the game instead of from the box?
Well, Steve, this really goes back to Bill Giles' days as a vice president of marketing and later president, and of course now he's chairman of the board. I went to a small school in southern New Jersey, formerly Glassboro State College, now Rowan University, and during the summers, well, I fancied myself as an athlete, Steve, as a young man. I think most of us did. And hoped for maybe a professional career someday in baseball or basketball, which were my best sports. You know, along about high school or college, you begin to realize that, I certainly realized that I had nowhere near the ability to play at the professional level. And I thought to myself, and this is way before the days of communications majors and sports management majors and broadcast journalism majors, thought, geez, how could I stay close to this? I knew I was a student of the game. I loved going to Phillies games. I've been going to Phillies games since 1954 when my father took my brother Rick and me. And I thought, gosh, there's got to be some way I can stay close. And I used to do the microphone thing at home in front of the TV and turning the sound down and announcing the games. And then I started keeping statistics for football play-by-play guys like yourself at the Franklin Field, which at one time was the home of the Eagles, as well as it is for University of Pennsylvania football. And I was always a pretty good networker and met a lot of people, tried to emulate some of the great styles that I heard and worked next to. And then ultimately I did some auto daredevil shows, including some in Pennsylvania, but they used to play the county fair and state fair circuit in New England. Like the Presque Isle Fair in Maine, or the Skowhegan Fair, or the Augusta Fair, or the Blue Hill Fair, as well as in Vermont and Connecticut, New Hampshire. And, of course, all the while, I'd hope that there might be an opportunity to do it, you know, in baseball or football. And luckily enough, I got an interview with Bill Giles in the fall of 1971. Now, Veterans Stadium opened in 71, in April of 71, and of course for 33 years it was the home of Phillies baseball, as it was for Eagles football. And they had a PA announcer for that first year, 1971, but Bill was contemplating making a change and interviewed a couple of people. He wasn't committed to the change, but I think he felt if he could find that move. And luckily enough for me, out of the interviews, Bill felt that I was knowledgeable enough and had a good enough voice that he gave me a chance.
Now the next part is, as you go through and do this job, where you can be effective with information, but also not overbearing on the game. Some public address announcers talk too much. For you, the importance of making sure that it's information, it's what the fans need, but also allows the game to breathe. The importance of that from your point of view.
I think it's so important, Steve. It might be considered old-fashioned nowadays. But, you know, one of the great joys to me about football and baseball, you know, is the game atmosphere. And allowing people to think about strategy and talk to, you know, family members and friends. I think if you're beating people over the head with too much noise and announcements throughout the game, it just overwhelms them. I think it can actually take away from the fun experience a little bit. And I know that especially in minor league baseball, where they're trying to do the best they can to raise additional revenue, and, you know, there are so many contests and so forth between innings. And there's some wonderful announcers at that level. But I think when you talk all of the time, it takes away from some of your effectiveness. And I think it also inhibits you in terms of, the personality that you inject. Now, I, as you mentioned, Steve, I try not to go over the top. One of the things that Bill Giles told me when he first hired me, and I started with April of 1972 after that November 71 interview, remember, you know, the players are the stars of the game. You're here to provide information. Do so quickly and accurately. Get in and get out. You know, the game will tell the story. That's what the people are here to see. And so, you know, depending upon the situation, I might try to emote a little bit more, but never to the point of screaming. I definitely don't want to overtalk. And that's really been the style that I was encouraged to use and have followed now in my 42nd year with the Phillies, and this is my 29th year with the Eagles coming up.
And that's exactly what I've told my broadcasting class at Penn State, Dan, for years. I've always told them, this is not today's game starring pick the announce team or pick whatever. It's the players and the coaches and the game of the stars. And that's why, whether it's an Eagles game, when I've gone to hear you at an Eagles game at the Link, or I've gone to hear you at Philadelphia, you've always seemed to have a perfect cadence, rhythm, and a feel for that part of it.
Well, thank you. A lot of it comes from being a fan myself, knowing what I wanted to hear when I was sitting in the stands. And, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Philadelphia sports fan, Steve. I root for everything Philadelphia, high school, college, professional sports. And I think that comes out, too, you know, and you can almost kind of tell when the home team is winning, and maybe from just the energy in my voice, or if the team, is underperforming. But even then, if a compliment that I'm grateful for is some of the game day personnel will come up after a game and they'll say, geez, Dan, that's great how you still announce everybody's name with a lot of enthusiasm, even when we're losing late in the game. I said, well, what do you expect me to do, give up? You know, that's the wrong message to send. You know, we're there to have a good time, and my goodness, if the team's not playing well, how about these people that have paid, you know, all this money for tickets? You know, they're probably feeling a little disappointed, too. And, you know, we certainly want to make them feel good about their investment, want them to come back and continue to root for the Phillies or the Eagles.
Different sport, different experience, some of the same approach. Mentally, do you have to change gears when you go baseball to football and vice versa?
It's a little bit different in football because my PA style is a kind of a modified play-by-play because I'm giving the down and distance. I'll give the ball carrier, the tackler, then the length of the gain and so forth. But again, it's done without description. It's just basic facts, quickly, concisely, and then be quiet. You have to be careful too. The referees, as you know, are on the PA mics more frequently now, and you don't want to interfere with that, and neither do you want to interfere, like when the teams are in a huddle. And if you're talking too loudly and perhaps it makes it difficult for the quarterback to give his instructions, you know, to the rest of the offensive personnel. You're mindful of good sportsmanship. Even though you're happy for the home team, you don't We're not supposed to be cheerleaders. Well, again, you know, you can't help it. Listen, Steve, you got to be really happy when the Nittany Lions are doing well. By the way, my wife wanted me to tell you that she and my sister-in-law are both proud graduates of Penn State University.
Oh, and, that's great.
So, and we've been up there and enjoyed that wonderful experience a couple of times, too. You know, you don't want to interfere with the flow of the game. And it's just like in baseball, switching back to that sport, you know, after a batter gets into the batter's box, you don't want to interfere with his concentration by then announcing his name, and then he'll step out and go through his, you know, pregame ritual or, you know, pre-at-bat ritual again. So, you know, you kind of know when to announce, and I know it says he's approaching the batter's box, but you want to make sure to say his name, you know, before he gets in there. And again, you know, you don't want to interfere with the flow of the game. You know, there's a natural flow of the game, as you know, in both sports. And if you allow that to go forward, it's a beautiful spectacle.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And by the way, to your wife and your sister, that's terrific. I'm thrilled about that. And the next time, if the schedule permits for you to come up and see a game, please get in contact with me. I'd like you to have to stop by and say hi to Jack and me. We'd love that very much.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Oh, it would be our pleasure, Dan, believe me. One final thing for you. You talked about doing this for 42 years. And and this question is coming from somebody who already knows the answer to it, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. What kind of appreciation do you have every night when you walk into your job, whether it happens to be at Citizens Bank or at the Link?
I realize I'm the luckiest person in the world to be able to do this game in and game out. You know, it's something that I always wanted to do as a kid, you know, first again, you know, as a player if possible, and not being able to achieve that, you know, I can remember as a kid at Connie Mack Stadium at 21st Street and Lehigh Avenue in North Philadelphia, looking up at the press box and thinking to myself, boy, I would give my right arm to get up there. That must be so neat. And so here I am, you know, 81 games a season for baseball, you know, or 10 for football. And I just feel so lucky. I have the same enthusiasm today, Steve, that I did when I first started, you know, with the Phillies in 1972, with the Eagles in 1985. And I think that comes across, that, you know, natural enthusiasm. Yeah. I think that Phillies fans at Citizens Bank Park or Eagles fans at Lincoln Financial Field can hear in my voice how much I love those teams and how much I love what I'm doing.
You sure can, and that's why I knew the answer before I asked the question, but I wanted the fans to hear it because I know after 32 years of doing Penn State basketball, obviously now all the football work, every time I sit in the booth, I always take a look out at some point, and I say to myself, I'm the luckiest guy on the face of
yeah.
the earth. I mean, and I know it, and I can hear it in you.
Thank you. And I can hear it in you, my friend, because, you know, I've done a lot of college basketball play-by-play and some football
yeah.
play-by-play myself once upon
yep.
a time for Temple and Penn in
yep.
football. And I've done, you know, the Big Five, LaSalle, Penn, St. Joe, Temple, and Villanova, and more recently Drexel. Penn State basketball has been carried on some of the same stations as the teams that I broadcast. So I've heard you, you know, before our games, you know, came on or sometimes after. And I always enjoyed your professionalism, your enthusiasm. And I knew when I heard that broadcast, I was listening to Penn State football or Penn State basketball.
Dan, thank you so much. Very kind words, but I had a blast talking to you today. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm glad people were able to hear from one of the absolute best in that business as to how that job goes, because I think a lot of people don't understand sometimes how a job and how it happens and how it takes place and the coordination that's needed and the professionalism that's needed, and you embody all of that. And we thank you so much for the insight, and I sincerely hope this is not the last time we talk on this show.
Steve, I'd love to come back anytime you want me, and I thank you for the kind words. And just like yourself, you know, I think another key is never taking anything for granted, and, you know, always doing one's homework. You know, just because you've done it for a while doesn't mean you can sit back on your laurels and just assume that you know how to pronounce this name or that name. And
right.
And I know how important that is to you, and it's a key for myself as well.
Dan, thank you so much. I appreciate the time you gave us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Dan Baker, absolutely outstanding, one of the best in the business, if not, in fact, may be the best in the business when it comes to being a public address announcer. And Dan, by the way, is also an outstanding play-by-play man in his own right. I've heard Dan many times. He is an outstanding play-by-play guy. And that's the key. He shifts gears beautifully from play-by-play and description on radio to being a public address announcer. He has the right tone for each. He's a pro's pro. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Kevin Herr filling in for Steve Jones. This is, though, the Steve Jones Show. It still retains his name. I have not completely taken over everything yet. I've tried, but, you know, they had everything all printed out. They had the website all done, the domain name registered. I thought, well, we'll just keep the Steve Jones Show name for this week anyway. And he'll be back with us on Monday as well as high school football gets cranked up on Monday. And we get into the full swing of some college football practices, so we can talk Penn State on Monday as well. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a look at the news, but then it'll be Kevin Kugler in the next hour and Rich Scarsella as well to talk a little college football and maybe even a little bit of baseball, including the Reading Phillies. That's all coming up in the next hour. We'll have our interviews later on this week with Mike Muscala and Coach Dave Paulson when Mike was picked by the Atlanta Hawks. Well, eventually, officially picked by the Atlanta Hawks, we'll put it that way. Now, of course, Mike has signed to play for a team in Spain for the next year after playing in the Summer League in Vegas. And we caught up with Mike before he actually got into the Summer League in Vegas, right after he was picked by the Hawks. And we'll have those interviews for you later on this week as well. But, you know, it's not bad news for Mike Muscala. It doesn't mean that he won't play at all in the NBA as a second-round pick. A lot of these guys will sit out a year or two from the NBA, or the teams will ask them to sit out a year or two from playing in the NBA and get a little bit more experience. And with some of the moves the Hawks made, it, you know, kind of makes sense. And we talked a little bit more about that earlier this week on Tuesday's show with Doug Birdsong joining us as a guest host. And you can hear that, stevejonesshow.com. Click on podcast there. You can hear our high school football show that we did on Monday as well there at stevejonesshow.com. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu and at Kevin Herr. And the email address, stevejones@wkok.com. The news is next.